Hello, I'm Andy Kahn, and welcome to this episode of the Jambase Podcast. Jambase is the media partner of Osiris Media, the podcast network for music. Visit Jambase to listen to all of Osiris' podcasts, including Comes a Time with Oteil Burbridge and Mike Minoya, Eric Krasno Plus One, Past, Present, Future Live, and many more. In a few minutes, we'll hear an interview with ALO keyboardist Zach Gill, who returns to the Jambase Podcast to discuss his upcoming new solo album, Cocktail Yoga. Zach spoke to Jambase's Scott Bernstein over a Zoom call, and along with the new record, the pair talked about how Zach is dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, what he and ALO have been working on, and much more. Before we get to that, I want to tell you about this episode's sponsor, Boulder Creek Infusions. Boulder Creek Infusions makes CBD oil using only natural oils and gentle heat to preserve full-spectrum benefits. Grown in the mountains of Colorado, Boulder Creek Infusions' full-spectrum CBD oil is craft-infused from sun-grown hemp. There are over 100 botanical compounds found in the hemp plant, each with its own unique set of benefits. Desired effects come not only from cannabinoids like CBD and THC, but also the delicate synergies of these compounds, like terpenes, working together. This phenomenon is referred to as full spectrum, whole plant, or the entourage effect. BCI's small batch process ensures the highest quality from farm to tincture and offers premium full spectrum CBD direct to consumers at lower prices. I've long been a champion of CBD, which is now more prevalent than ever. What I like about BCI compared to other CBD options is knowing that the CBD oil BCI makes will give me the complete full spectrum experience. Whether that's been from my ongoing migraine headaches, or like recently when I was anxious before a major surgery, and again during my thankfully less painful recovery. Boulder Creek Infusions has an amazing deal on its full-spectrum CBD, exclusively for Jambase fans. Head to bouldercreekinfusions.com/jambase for 50% savings on full-spectrum, extra-strength, sun-grown CBD from Boulder Creek Infusions. Be sure to use the coupon code JAMBASE for an additional $5 off your order. Once again, that's bouldercreekinfusions.com/jambase and use the code JAMBASE for $5 off your order. We also wanted to make sure you've heard about the newly launched Jambase Live Video Archive, featuring nearly 100,000 live music videos. We're really excited about the ever-growing database that allows visitors to filter videos by band, song title, the year it was recorded, by YouTube channels, and more. With the COVID-19 pandemic drastically reducing the number of live concerts around the world, the JBLVA is a great way to remember what it was like when we could still go see live music. For instance, are you looking to find videos of Phish performing Harry Hood in 2013? What about watching covers of All Along the Watchtower by Dave Matthews Band, The Grateful Dead, Warren Haynes, Phil Lesh, and others? Or how about live performances at Seattle radio station KEXP, performed by The Barr Brothers, Wilco, Jason Isbell, Yola Tango, and dozens of other acts? Those are just a few of the seemingly endless examples of what you can find on the JBLVA. When you finish listening to this episode, head over to jambase.com/videos and start exploring the live video archive today. Okay, now here's Scotty and Zach.
Jambase Podcast continues with a very special guest, Zach Gill. How's it going, Zach?
Great. How's it going with you?
It's going pretty well, all things considered, and it's certainly been a wild time. How has life been going for you during this crazy pandemic?
Same as a lot of people. I think the biggest thing is just like uncertainty. We've stayed healthy, but there's just been the ups and downs, the waves of it. It's an intense time for sure.
No doubt. You know? And you guys didn't get a chance. You were in the middle of ALO was in the middle of Tour d'Amour, and you had to kind of cancel that. So it wasn't that long before the pandemic hit that you guys were actually on stage together.
I mean, we were yeah, I mean, our last gig was March 6th at the Warfield. And so it was definitely like the next day, I think everything was canceled and everything shut down, you know? So it was kind of like the last, and there was definitely a lot of talk, you know, there were a lot of like tickets that went unclaimed and things like that at the, you could kind of feel the tide changing, you know?
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But it was a great show and people had fun. I remember thinking like, if this is our last show for a while, this is a good one to stop on.
And did you go into that show kind of having the thought that it might be the last one?
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of uncertainty, but you started hearing that like, hey, up in Seattle, they're canceling everything. You know, you kind of felt like it was a little bit inevitable, but you didn't know how. I mean, no one knew what that would be like but you definitely could feel something changing.
How has it been with the family? How has the family adapted to this crazy time?
I mean, you know, there's lots of ups and downs with, I mean, you know, my daughter who was in college came home, and then, you know, my other daughter's in fourth grade. So that's out of like everyone, you know, but, you know, I mean, to be honest, there were like so many, a lot of changes, and there has been so many great parts. You know, like so much time spent together. Like at times I was like, wow, this is like, you know, everyone eating dinner and all together, like feels really good. But then other times where I think we all were driving each other crazy or just too much time spent together, you know. And then, you know, I mean, yeah. And it's been interesting for me because I'm always, I mean, not interested. I mean, it's just everybody's got their story. But I've always been on the, I've been home that much, like since I had kids, you know, right. Like I've always been this kind of conflict in my life. So this is the longest I've been home. And that was a nice feeling for a while. It was just sort of like, oh, all these projects that, you know, always, you know, I just was building stuff in the backyard and kind of doing home stuff. And that felt really good. And then now, you know, I think somewhere in the middle of the summer, I started to be like, wait a second.
Yeah, this is not like, normal.
I like performing. Yeah. What's happening here, you know?
And you've done some live streams.
Yeah. I was kind of big on it at first, but I might get back into it, but I think, I've been really, I enjoyed working on the Cocktail Yoga album. ALO has been working on a lot of remote music. So that's kind of kicking back up, and there's plenty to like dig into with that. So I feel like there's a lot to actually work on at the moment, you know, and the live streams are cool, but they, you know, to do them right, they do take a lot of prep, and then I'm not sure they ever quite feel like a real gig. You know, there's this weird line between like you feel like you should be like answering people's reply, like things that they say as they're going by, but then you feel like you're supposed to be performing. I don't know. It's like it would be weird if like in the middle of a show I just stopped every few seconds.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's what it feels like you should do. And, you know, but then it feels weird to not, I don't know. Yeah, there's something. So I just kind of stopped doing it.
Right. And, but what you didn't stop doing is creating music. And you mentioned Cocktail Yoga, and that's a new album that's coming out on September 18th. And it was recorded during the pandemic. Is that correct?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I had little bits of it, you know, started beforehand, but yeah, it was definitely like a lot of it was then and finished then. And the only reason I finished it was because the pandemic sort of afforded time, and it felt like a good thing to be doing. It was a really nice personal reprieve, you know, for me to work on it.
And where did you work on it?
In my garage.
Right.
You know?
Which has a name. It's got a nickname.
Yeah, the Creativity Lounge. Yeah. And it's my sort of ever evolving studio space.
And how quickly after the pandemic started, did you go to work on Cocktail Yoga?
Pretty quickly, you know, like, I mean, and I wasn't sure. I mean, to be honest, I wasn't, there wasn't like a plan to make an album. But I think I grabbed it, you know, I just, you know, there was a lot of time. So I just was writing songs and doing all sorts of things. And I actually recorded a whole bunch of songs too, like that I wrote, but they were all sort of, I don't know. I've got those too, but then whenever I would work on these instrumentals, those were sort of like, you know, just like, I don't know, you know, like 6 hours would go by and I'd be like, what? You know, like they were sort of like little time traveling spots. Sorry, there's a plane going overhead, but
no worries.
but so it was, that was a really nice thing to do, you know. And then I would, and because they didn't have words, like I'd go and I'd, you know, I'd be like on my bike listening to my mixes, and then I'd hear some birds and I'd be like, that sounds cool. And then I'd just come back the next day to a spot that had a lot of birds and I'd record the birds and then I'd add them in. Or one day my daughter was, you know, talking about her dreams and I was like, you mind if I record this, you know? And then I grab little snippets of that in. And then sometimes I'd be like, yeah, I don't like that anymore. And then I'd pull it all out. And then, you know, so it was a little bit like painting and scraping layers away. And then, you know, and then I was like talking with my manager, Josh, and he's like, maybe that's an album.
Oh, that's really.
Yeah. And at first it wasn't like, there wasn't a, you know, it was just something I was working. It was just something because that felt good to do, you know, because it felt like they were all like unfinished pieces of music, you know, so it felt, yeah. And then it was cool too, because then once that was finished, because there was a lot to finish, and then once it was finished, then like regular songs started happening and then ALO stuff started. It felt like it was a good, it felt like it was the right block to remove, you know, because I get a lot of ideas going, and sometimes if I get too many, then I get stuck finishing them. So it's nice when they come to fruition, and then new things start to sprout, which is always exciting.
Were there songs, once you came up with the idea that you were going to do this mostly instrumental album, at that point, after you talked with Josh, was there still more material that came after that point, after you had decided to, that you were going to record an album of mostly instrumentals?
Yeah. And I kept kind of, you know, and I kept even, you know, cause I'm, you know, I mean, I write a lot of songs with lyrics traditionally. And so I kept thinking like, this is a pretty cool song. Like maybe this should be part of it. But the more, every time I tried to add, you know, songs with lyrics, it just, most of them just didn't feel, it just kind of took away from the thing. It felt like, oh, here's like somebody's opinion about something. And it was just like the last thing I wanted to hear, you know?
Sure.
But I think that, and there was also a weird thing that like before the pandemic, like on New Year's Eve, I had these, they're called archetype cards. They're not like tarot cards, but they're like archetypes and like, you know, like hero, villain, or, you know, magic portal or whatever. And so my wife did this like reading for me, and my card for the year was Apocalypsis.
Oh my God.
And that was like New Year's Eve. And so I was like, whoa. And then, but then it was like, don't worry, you know, it's not as bad as you think. Said that on the card. The cards kind of have a sense of humor. And then it was like, read this book and see this movie. And it recommended that Seth Rogen film, This Is the End, about the end of the world. And then it told me to read this book called Why the World Doesn't End. And so I read that book and it was really, really good. It was all these like creation myths when people thought the world was ending. That was like in January. And then that got me on this whole idea of writing a musical about the underworld, about like a trip to the underworld. And so I was like writing all these songs that were like kind of dark, but kind of funny. And it wasn't meant to be like, it was like, you know, it was like, I don't know. So I was working on all this stuff that kind of had to do with like the end of the world. And then all of a sudden the pandemic hit and I was like, oh shit.
So it's your fault.
Yeah. Dramatic, but then those didn't feel like the right songs to be working on during the pandemic. Sure. It just felt like too intense. And so I kind of put that all aside and fled to the land of cocktail yoga.
And can you tell us about the title, Cocktail Yoga?
Yeah. I mean, it was like, you know, it's like whenever I've been calling some of the music that I make Cocktail Yoga for a long time, because it reminds me of either drinking cocktails or doing yoga. And, you know, and it was like, and it's like, it was almost like a joke at first. It was like, oh, I just started, you know, it's like, this is cocktail yoga music. And then it just stuck, you know, but it is good. I mean, I listen to a lot of like 60s cocktail music in general. Like I find that's like something that always makes me feel right, you know, regardless of the cocktails. It's just it's a good fit for me. And it's something I've been into. Loungy. Yeah. I've been into the loungy stuff for a long time. And so, yeah, it kind of fits right in there, I guess.
Absolutely. My favorite track on the album is Beneath Naked Half Moon. Nice. I just think that's an absolutely gorgeous track. Can you take us through a little bit the how that track came together as an example?
Yeah. Well, Are you familiar with the song Bolero?
Yes.
By Ravel. So it's like Bolero is like one melody that repeats over and over again. And it was something I used to be into, but it's pretty dramatic. I mean, it's like a, you know, like romantic classical piece. It's very dramatic. It's big, like brass. But I always loved that song. I always thought it was cool how you could just melody and like reharmonize it and just let the melody sort of guide you as you're guiding. So that was kind of like what started it. And I was like, from there, it was like layers and scratching away and adding this and adding that. And there's like old samples of my daughter, you know, crying when she was little, like backwards. And I'd be like, that's cool. And there's like an old cello that was laying around and I couldn't make much out of it, but I added a little like da 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 da, you know, and then I kind of grabbed that. And so it was, you know, you there? Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. And it was basically that. And then it was just like a whittling away. You know, I knew that that melody was going to go through the whole thing. And then it was just like, you know, how many times can you do the melody and have it still feel like it's moving? And then, you know, and then there's always like a little bit of improvisation where you're like, you end the melody and that feels right. But then there's still a little space after. And what are you going to do with that space? And then, you know, it always had a long title. That's actually the condensed title. At some point, I was like, I can't even remember what some of the, but it just always had a long title. But yeah, that one felt nice. That was nice. I love that one. Yeah.
And how long did the whole process take? When did you finish work on Cocktail Yoga?
I mean, I finished it pretty early, actually, like back in March or maybe like May. I mean, but you know, there's always like snippets with these things, you know, where there's like, you know, where you're like, oh, that one song needs to be fixed right here, or this or that, you know, but most of it was all done by March.
And do you play all the instruments? Is there any besides your daughter's voice?
Yeah, no, it's all me. I mean, you know, there's a lot of like looping of things because I'm not a great drummer. So, yeah. I figured out how to like, oh, you know, I can just play the hi-hat or I can just play the kick drum and I'll have to do it all at once, you know? But it was also a nice, like, it was like, that was all really fun too, you know, like it was like fun to just, and I think especially cause, there wasn't like a plan to release it exactly. So a lot of it was just kind of for the fun of doing it, you know, and they felt like they were not songs that, you know, in ALO, it's like a different, we kind of work on stuff together or we bring in kind of finished songs, you know, and these all felt like something else, you know, they felt like they probably wouldn't have ever made it to that kind of workshop space, you know?
Absolutely. And did you get a lot of new equipment while you were putting this together or was this all things that you already had in your garage?
I got some real nice recording gear like earlier in the year.
Okay.
You know, like maybe like last, about a year ago. And so I hadn't really messed around with a lot of it too much, you know, but I got a few new things on there. Oh, I got a talk box.
Oh,
one of those
Peter Frampton.
The Peter Frampton thing. So I had just gotten one of those for Tour Day or More and then the tour got cut short. So I had that. And so that was a fun thing. It's ended up making it on a couple of songs.
Very cool. Very cool. And so the plan came and you're going to put out the album on September 18th. Anything we can look forward to in terms of promotion? Will you be performing the songs?
You know, they're such, I haven't really figured out. You know, I mean, I keep having, you know, visions of like a Cocktail Yoga band or, you know, using loops or even like, I don't know, having a cocktail party and just playing it in the background and hanging out.
They're hard
songs to, you know, they have so many layers and like orchestration to them. They're hard to just imagine how to figure, you know, especially because I'm kind of, you know, a little isolated where I am, But for sure, I've made a lot of fun videos for each song. Oh,
very cool.
I'm hoping that there's like drink tutorials and like, you know, any number of it's, that's been a fun creative aspect of it, is just making videos.
Absolutely. I can imagine. So, once the pandemic hit, the ALO tour got, cut short, have you been staying in touch with your ALO bandmates throughout this?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been sending each other tracks back and forth and working on those. And I think we're sort of like, you know, I mean, there was a lot of, I think everybody, I mean, it seemed like there was this sort of like moment of, you know, at least like among like, you know, there's so many musicians suddenly like either scrambling to be like, wait, how do I make up my thing? Or what do I, you know, so there was sort of like, but there was also a lot of like, there was a moment where everybody just sort of stopped, which was kind of nice and interesting, you know. I mean, like in my neighborhood, it was so quiet. It was just, everything was so quiet. And, but then shortly after that, we started, it seems like there's a lot of these, you know, like these kind of virtual festivals. So we've been pretty busy through the whole thing, you know, learning how to, you know, how do you get four people together, but they're not together? How do you record a track that's going to sound live, but we're actually not live, but you still want it to have that feeling? So, and it's actually been really good. And, I feel like there's been a lot of like band growth through the whole thing. Like, I'm kind of excited for, you know, at some point when it all kind of sprouts up again, I have no doubt that the band will be stronger than ever, you know.
Yeah, because you guys were really, you had put out a bunch of new material, the great EPs last year. And, you know, it was such a great time for the band. I'm glad to hear that you feel that will continue once this.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like in some ways, like there's also like some pretty, you know, bold ALO composition stuff like coming down the pipes.
Ooh.
That's pretty exciting. And I feel like part having the time actually to figure out how to record some of it, because you know, I mean, it's like, it's we when you get the band in the studio, like it leads to certain things, and it's always like a matter of like running out of time with us. But I feel like this pandemic has actually given everybody a little burst of time, you know. Like, I know I kind of have, you know, been working on like, oh, this one song's like all the parts, if they work together, it's like, you know, 20, 30 minutes long, you know? So like, is that going to be an ALO thing? It's like, it's a hard thing to present, you know, when you're like, we got one day in the studio. But those kinds of ideas on everybody's hand are kind of the sort of longer, bigger scope compositions are kind of, seem to be sprouting up. So I'm excited about that. And I feel like the pandemic has actually like afforded us that kind of, you know, the time to kind of work on some of those ideas. And yeah.
And have the process of making Cocktail Yoga helped when it comes to ALO, and what you said before about trying to get the recording process for these virtual festivals and stuff?
I mean, it's funny, like the making of, I'm not, you know, like it used to be, there's some kids next door. Let me come over here to the quiet zone. I used to worry that like, bands are such, such like powerful, but yet volatile forces in the universe. You know, I mean, they're like democracies, you know, they're not like, there's no cut and dry answer to how they work. You know, in a band like ALO, like the leadership role is always changing, you know? And so it can make it hard sometimes, you know, when you're like, what is the goal of any song or project, and how do you give things the amount of time they need when everybody's got limited time, and, you know, and people are being pulled in different directions. And I think ALO's done a really good job at sort of navigating that over the years, but we've had to, sort of make sacrifices for people to do what they need to do when they need to do it, you know, whereas opposed to like when we were kids, it was sort of like all hands on deck for the band, like everything about the band, you know. It was like everything we did in high school, everything, you know, college, it was like the next gig, you know. It's like, and so I feel like, in adult life, you know, there's times where you're like, all right, well, I guess we're going to take a break and like, and we're going to come back and we will come back. But, taking intentional breaks, allowing people to be like, you know, do side projects, do solo projects, you know, and there was a time where it was like, almost like those things were taboo to even bring up, you know, but I think over the years, it's been a really healthy thing for everybody across the board to find those other outlets. And then it like grows everybody as musicians. And then everybody comes back into the fold with like these new things. And I think it keeps the music really interesting and really pure and allows for new growth and new possibilities that would have just been, you know, it's like we avoid burnout, I think.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense.
But it's also scary because it takes something, you know, it's like juggling something that you really care about and you put a lot of time into it. You don't want to just leave it by the wayside or, you know, you take energy out of, you know, there's only so much energy. So it's like it's like at the moment I'm putting energy into Cocktail Yoga, but yet I am putting energy into ALO too. So maybe it's all just this kind of ecosystem of balance, I hope.
Exactly. That feeds off of each other. And I think, you know, I feel like last year, the past 12 months have been, or before the pandemic, were really good for ALO. It was lots of new material and lots of shows.
The kind of Ezra era has been really fruitful. You know? I think he brought a lot of new energy, and it's been fun to work on tracks with him actually remotely. That's been really cool.
And for those who aren't familiar, that's Ezra Lip, who is the drummer for ALO. And also has his own project, Magic in the Other. So plenty of production skills that he brings to the table. How do you stay positive, Zach, throughout this pandemic? How do you try to keep positive in such uncertain times?
Well, you know, the book I read helped in the beginning, you know, sort of knowing that, you know, humans have been through these sort of, you know, scorched earth moments in history lots of times, you know, I was a history major in college. So I'm always sort of like, there's a part of me that's always like, oh, is this kind of like the Great Depression? Is this kind of like that moment when, you know, some evil despot takes over? Is it, you know, cause you start to see like these things happen and our individual lives are so small and short compared to the scope of human history. And then even like the scope of, you know, the cosmos, or, you know, it's like, it's just a blip in the little thing. So that kind of helps me sometimes, you know, connecting with people is good. Even when, you know, you're not supposed to, it's like, it's been really good to like reach out to old friends and talk with them. It's been really good to have projects to work on. The first thing that happened was I built a pergola in the backyard. And that was really, really good. And then the Cocktail Yoga has been really good just to have, you know, purpose there's been so much soul searching, you know, and it's been a battle to like, you know, it's like, it's like the Groundhog Day aspects of things are weird. God. It's like, you just get crazy and you feel so, you know, like, what is it? Tuesday? Is it Saturday? What, you know? And then, you know, in the beginning there was probably too much drinking. I felt like I was drinking too much. And then there was sort of an exercise time where I was like exercising, and then that sort of faded. And you know, the summer, I feel like I was pretty positive. And then somewhere in the summer, I started to get a little lost with it all and like fall into depression. But then, you know, there's an idea of like, one of the ideas about the underworld is, you know, is that it's depression essentially, you know? And so there's always this like, you know, heroes, you know, the old stories are like, you know, the hero voyages to the underworld out of grief. You know, sometimes somebody passes in your life and it's so, so bad that you decide to like go down into the underworld, you know, because there's nowhere out, but you're not supposed to be there. It's not your time to be there, you know, but you have to go there and you journey there and you bring whatever revelation needs to happen and you bring it back. And then you have your time above ground, you know.
No doubt.
I think that those are all healthy ways. And then knowing that, you know, humans have been through this stuff, you know, these are chaotic times. I'm reading Harpo Marx's autobiography right now.
How is that?
It's amazing. It's so great. And it's exactly you know, most of the events are taking place like 1900 to like 1940. So it's like, you know, like about 100 years ago, you know, the stock market crash just happened. He's hanging out with, you know, at Hertz Castle. He's like, you know, on the, you know, throughout the early 20s, he's you know, doing the vaudeville circuit and what that's like. And it reminds me so much of jam band world in a lot of ways, you know, because there's a real element to it that's like, you just, you know, they get out there, you know, he brothers and their mom is really thinks that the only, you know, they're poor Jewish immigrants in New York City at like the turn of the century. And her, and the mom's sort of like, you know what? Our best bet is show business. You know, they're like, this is a rough place to be and our best bet is show business, but the kids don't have any talent, you know? So she starts trying to kind of nurture some talent in them, get them to read some good books, and they can afford lessons for one of them. And then, you know, by the time they're seven, she's like, we're going to get on the road, you know, or like by the time they're not seven, they're like 12, you know, okay. And then it's just, they're on the road and they basically are like trying to, it's like sink or swim, you know, it's like, and they show up at these places and they have their posters that say the Fabulous Marx Brothers and they hang them around town and people pay a couple, you know, couple cents to see the show. And if they like it, they cheer. If they don't, they throw stuff at them. And then it's just like on to the next town. And then eventually they get good, yeah. You know? And it's sort of like the road that makes them good. They learn like what it is to entertain an audience and in the meantime become great musicians. It's kind of wild how good they got. You know, when you watch Harpo play the harp or his brother plays piano and one of them sings and they're all great, you know, and really entertaining to watch. But so that's been a good, you know, that's been the last couple weeks I've been in, Harpo's been in my life. And then he's a pantomime. He's like a prop comic. He doesn't actually speak. And that's kind of fun. Yeah. I kind of really, I like that idea.
And final question for you. And thanks again for taking the time. Have you been in touch with Jack Johnson or anything going on in that part of the musical world for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's been pretty busy. He's got some a lot of growth happening in like the Kakua, like there in a lot of there. They're building like they were before the pandemic, and they still are. They're building like a sort of you know, outdoor classroom for kids in Hawaii. Okay. So he's been super busy with that, and you know, we text and talk on the phone. Everyone, you know, there's a lot of like group email texts going around. But it kind of waxes and wanes. But he seems great. I mean, my wife, you know, works with his wife, and they talk like every day.
Excellent, excellent.
So I feel, you know, always connected to Jack. We send, you know, if ever, you know, you get anything funny on the internet, we send it to each other.
That's great. He's that kind of friend.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, Zach's Cocktail Yoga album is due out on September 18th. And Zach, I really enjoy the album and I'm sure our listeners will as well. And thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate Jambase over the years. I love the podcast platform. Great work.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of the Jambase Podcast. Thanks to Zach for joining us again. Be sure to grab his album Cocktail Yoga when it drops on Friday, September 18th. Head to bouldercreekinfusions.com/jambase for 50% savings on full spectrum, extra strength, sun-grown CBD from Boulder Creek Infusions. Be sure to use the coupon code JAMBASE for an additional $5 off your order. We also encourage you to support the National Independent Venues Association and their effort to get Congress to provide financial support to independent live music venues negatively impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. You can voice your support for live music by contacting your representatives in Congress to tell them to pass the Save Our Stages Act. For more information and links to contact your current congressional reps, visit saveourstages.com. Thanks to Jake Alexander for helping produce the episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the Jam Bass Podcast. If you like what you hear, give us a bunch of stars, leave a review, tell your friends to check us out. We'll be back soon, and in the meantime, if there's a responsibly socially distanced way to go see live music, then wear a mask and go see live music.